the lion. The beasts, being substituted for the metals, represent, of course, the same dominion. The lion was a very appropriate symbol for the Assyrian dynasty, as well as was well understood in the days of the prophets. Hence, speaking of the overthrow coming upon Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah says, "I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant." But in Daniel, the Assyrian lion appears under different aspect. He is represented first as a lion with eagle's wings, crouching, and secondly as a lion without wings, standing erect. The lion in these two aspects represents the Assyrian monarchy in two phases. First, while Nineveh was its capital, and secondly, when by conquest the seat of government was transferred to Babylon. Esarhaddon was king of Assyria, while Merodach-Baladan was king of Babylon, and both were contemporary with Hezekiah, king of Judah. Baladan, the father of Merodach-Baladan, was probably the founder of Nebuchadnezzar's dynasty. Merodach was doubtless an important member of the family, for Nebuchadnezzar named his son Evil Merodach after him. About 106 years elapsed from the embassy of Merodach-Baladan to inquire after the health of Hezekiah and concerning the bringing back of the shadow 10 degrees by which it had gone down on the dial to the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, which was equivalent to the third of Joachim, king of Judah. It was by the Merodach-Baladan dynasty that the wings of the Assyrian lion were plucked. That is, the Esarhaddon dynasty of Assyria was superseded by the king of Babylon as the destroyer of the Gentiles. Before this revolution was effected, the Assyrian dominion was represented by a winged lion having the form of a man down to the waist and furnished with arms. This is satisfactorily demonstrated by Mr. Layard in his Nineveh and its Remains. In his excavations at Nineveh, he laid bare sculptured lions 12 feet high and 12 feet long. In one hand, a goat was held, and in the other, hanging down by the side, a branch with three flowers. From the shoulder sprang forth the expanded wings, which spread over the back. The body was that of a lion with five legs, two on the forend and three on the side. There's a publisher's note. It adds, the fifth leg was added to give an appearance of symmetry to the side view. The head, breast and arms were human and as low down as the waist. A knotted girdle, ending in tassels, encircled the loins. But when Nineveh's dominion was transferred to Babylon by a conqueror, a change came over the Assyrian lion. Daniel says, "I beheld till its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth." In consequence of its eagle's wings being plucked, that is, of Armenia and Persia being subdued, the Assyrian dominion was prostrated to the earth, completely overthrown, but not destroyed, for Daniel says furthermore that the lion was made to stand upon the feet as a man. Nebuchadnezzar was at once the conqueror and rebuilder of the Assyrian monarchy. He made it stand erect and gave it a more civilized constitution. Shalmaneser had destroyed the kingdom of the 10 tribes of Israel, and Sennacherib had blasphemed Jehovah, and the posterity of his son Esarhaddon had become effete. This was a dynasty which had become a pest, a plague spot upon the nations. But Nebuchadnezzar, though an idolater, was a man better suited to the purposes of God. There was more of the man and less of the wild beast in him than in the kings of the dynasty he had overthrown. Therefore, when the Assyrian lion was made to stand erect upon its hind feet like a man, Daniel says that a man's heart was given to it. Its golden or imperial lion head was responsive to divine impressions, and gave utterances to sentiments which were entirely alien from the heart of the kings of Nineveh. "I bless the Most High," said Nebuchadnezzar, "and I praised and honoured him that liveth for ever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? I praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. But this man's heart was not the disposition of Belshazzar, his son's son. Instead of praising and extolling and honouring the God of Israel, he defied him and lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven, and out of the holy vessels of his temple he and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank wine. And he praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand his breath was, and whose were all his ways, he had not glorified. This was his offence, on account of which the Lord of heaven passed this sentence upon him. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting, and thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Nor was the execution of the decree long delayed, for on that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom.